Can you just turn around to your left and right and tell somebody good morning? Good afternoon. This afternoon, I would like us just to converse on a question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? But I would like us to go to Hebrews 11 briefly before we begin to speak to the verses that we have heard. Hebrews 11. It's a long passage, but I want to truncate it, get a few verses from there, and then we'll proceed. In verse 13, the Bible says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Verse 14, obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. 15, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could not have gone back. They would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Honor your word this afternoon, Lord. As we share it with my brethren, I pray, O God, that you shall speak to us this afternoon in the way that you have chosen. Each one of us, Lord, at our own points of needs, let your word be honored this afternoon. In Jesus' name we are prayed. So I realize that the world is full of activity, and many people are moving left, right, center in search of various things. And there are people who have put different goals in their lives. They have set different goals in their lives. Unfortunately, most of those goals are attained, and there is an emptiness in people's lives. They still feel there is something yet to be achieved. Somebody who was previously surviving on $200 per month begins to search for more because he feels he needs more. He gets $1,000. That is not enough. He still looks for more, gets $5,000, and so forth. And they are still in search of the same amount of money. And yet, at the end of the day, their lives seem to be hopeless. But the Bible is telling us of a people who are searching for a place. And in their lives, they continue to pursue this goal so committedly that they died even before attaining those goals. But in all that, they were not disappointed, because he that has built that desire in their hearts was ready to fulfill it. If you go to the last verse of Hebrews 11, it ends by saying, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These people pursued what God has laid in their hearts. They call upon their lives with such a zeal, with such a commitment, death meant nothing to them. Discouragement of whatever nature meant nothing to them. They continued, even some died. I pray that you have time on your own just to go through that chapter. You'll begin to see some of the things that people underwent. Some were cut, their bodies were sewn together again, and that was just because they pursued something that God had laid in their heart, in their lives. Though they had seen it just in a vision, they were not able to lay their hands on it, but still they continued. This afternoon, I would like us to continue asking ourselves this question: what am I looking for? What are you looking for in life? By way of looking at some individuals in the scripture who also set out looking for something, but God had a better plan for them. God had a better proposition in their lives than they set out to attain. I will start with the first person, that's King Saul. Because of time, we'll be skipping quite a huge chunk of the scripture, but I believe we'll be able to harmonize everything together to get what God wants to speak to us today. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, you will have an opportunity to look at it at your own time as you reflect over what we have shared this afternoon. There was a man by the name Saul. He was born in a very prominent family, known family. The father's name was Kish, and he was a prominent Benjamite because the Bible says he was a mighty man of power. And some scriptures say he was a wealthy person. So he was known in the community. And this young man was born to this person. And one day the donkeys got lost. So verse 20 says, just before we read, the donkeys were lost, the father's donkeys were lost. And so he took an assistant and they went in search of these donkeys. And as they went, the Bible says, even what they had carried as packed lunch or packed food for themselves began to go stale. And so the assistant suggested to the young man, said, let us go and see the prophet. In those days, they called them the seer. Let us go and see the man of God, the prophet. Because they had reached a town where the prophet resided. And so as they approached the place, the young man Saul was worried. I don't have anything to go and honor the man of God with. How can I go in his presence without anything to honor him? But the young man said he had some few coins, so they would go with that. And then verse 20, and don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. Saul set out to look for donkeys. That was the primary goal in his life, and in that day. But as he went forth, he didn't know the plan of God in his life. And that is where I'm coming from. That each one of us, people have testified, I don't know how many of us in our midst, you came with great plants in the Middle East. Because before we reached here, we believed there were oil wells in every home state. And so somehow it will be our business to get a jerrycan and try to sell as much oil as possible and carry home whatever money we can make out of those jerrycans. Just putting it lightly, people imagine that there's a lot of money in the Middle East. Indeed, there is. But it's not on the streets. You've got to work for it. Praise the Lord. You've got to offer some services in order for you to get an exchange in terms of the money. And so this is what some of you did when you came here. And I've already told you my stories, so I don't need to go through them again. Probably there were many plans in your life that at the end of your tour in this place, your life will be drastically changed and you'll no longer be able to go knocking on the doors in search of a job. Instead, you'll be a net employer. Now, you've taken 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you have not set up a company to employ people, and you are wondering, am I going to finish my tour in this place without the vision I had when I came? I want to tell you, God has got a better plan for you. Praise the Lord. You don't have, it's a time for us to refocus, to readjust our goals and set new goals based on the Word of God. We've just seen some clips there of people who were hopeless, who had encountered experiences that were devastating their lives, and they were planning to do away with their lives, probably some of them, but God knocked on their door and their lives have changed drastically. Some were in prisons, hopeless, serving jail terms, and looking down upon themselves, but God visited them and He gave them a new beginning in their lives. And I want to assure you today, like this young man saw, our lives will be transformed and God will give us a new vision in our lives. So as we were reading, the man of God is telling Saul, you've been worried about the donkeys. You've been worried about your investments. You've been worried about your children. You've been worried about many things in your life. But do not worry. He told this young man, the donkeys you're worried about, they have been found. So you do not need to focus on them. And Saul was so pleasantly surprised because he was told, from today, your focus was on the donkeys, but today God is making the focus of everybody on you. You will become the king of Israel. In short, that is what he was relaying to Saul, that today God's hand is being laid upon your life, that your life is being changed from somebody searching after donkeys, but somebody whom people will be serving, and you will be seated in the throne over the people of Israel. And Saul says in verse 21, but I am only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of the tribe. Why are you talking like this to me? God has no limitation. If God be who He is, He's not interested in who you are. I have said here before, God is interested in what He wants to make you, not what you are now. Praise the Lord. You are only but an instrument that He wants to fine-tune and upgrade to a new point in life. And so it doesn't matter what you view yourself as. Many people in the Bible have looked at themselves, the Gideons, Brother Gideon in the Bible, spoke in the same language. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Praise the Lord. So Gideon started with very few people. It has grown into a big ministry. Praise the Lord. And I want you to tap into this vision of Gideon today at a personal level. What started as a small vision with three people today is impacting the entire world. Everybody, every country, there is no place. If you go to hotels, you will find the Gideon Bibles there. Praise the Lord. You go to Olympic Games, you will find these people there. Maybe this brother. Praise the Lord. He doesn't run. He's not an athlete, but they're always targeting places where they can reach souls. Praise the Lord. That's the little I know about Gideon. But I want to say, a small vision starts like a mustard seed and blossoms into a big tree. A tree that will provide shelter for many animals. And I want to say, you in your life, if you begin to listen to what God has in your life, the plans he has for your life, you'll begin to understand the kind of vision that he has for you. This man was walking, looking for donkeys. If he had got the donkeys, he would have gone home and he would have realized his dream. Daddy, I brought you the donkeys. But when he went there, God gave him something so big. And that is why God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So this man went there and God gave him a vision. Not to look for small things, but to look for big things. After a country, after a nation. And so he goes back home and is a quiet man. He hides it in his heart. And he finds that his uncle is looking for him. I'm trying to make sure that everybody who has never read this Bible, this part, is getting the story well. So I'm trying to paraphrase it. On his way home, he finds the uncle there. The uncle is now looking for him. And when the uncle learns that he has been with a man of God, he's interested to know the message that he received. There are people who want to know what you are receiving in the bread of life here. Praise the Lord. When God speaks to you, sometimes it's good to be silent. Don't go shouting, God has told me I'm going to be this and this. Because sometimes you may be speaking in the presence of people who wish you no well. Praise the Lord. Learn to hold on to what God has told you and remain focused onto it. And this man went, and we see, then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests. I want to say this. When you see certain things happening in your life after you've been praying, after a spell of drought in your life, and you begin to see certain favors begin to fall in place, it's time to realize God is awakening you to something that he's about to do in your life. God will begin to shed certain lights in your life, things that you have been praying over, things that you have been agonizing over, a prayer that has been agonizing you throughout. God will sound some messages into your life. It is important for you to hold firm onto that and begin to walk with it. This man was being ushered on the table that was honored for very special people. He should have recognized the meat he was given was meant for very special people. Praise the Lord. And I want you to realize when you wake up in the morning and God is bringing joy in your heart, when you know that this thing is on my mind, it has been disturbing me, but you wake up one morning and you find there is a lot of joy in your heart, know that your answer is on the way. God is about to unveil what you have been thinking or what you have been praying over. Briefly I will say, I will summarize Saul's story as Saul's priority was to find donkeys, but God's priority was to confirm a king for Israel. Do you want to be a king? The bread of life. So you are from the small tribe of Benjamin. You don't see yourself as being blessed beyond what you imagine. Because God can bless us beyond what we think, what we pray for. That's what the scripture says, isn't it? So what you have not thought about is what God is thinking about in your life. What you have not prayed about is what God is planning for your life. So I'm saying there are great things that God wants to do in our lives. So learn to pursue the plan of God. What worries you may not align with God's plans for your life. Seek to find out God's plan over your life, and the rest will fall in place. Quickly, we go to David, 1 Samuel 16. Another person again. Samuel is looking after animals. I don't know this thing about animals and God. Because the time he promised Adam, I'm going to bless you. I mean, he said himself, it is not good for a man to be alone. I'm going to find him a helper. Something happened. He forgot. He laid that aside. And the next step, the Bible says, he starts making animals from the soil. Praise the Lord. Animals have got a way of training men and preparing them for great things in their lives. That's what I'm just trying to bring across. So before Eve came around, the man had to toil with animals first. You have to do practice with things which are not significant first. And then God lays into your hand something which is special. Eve is not going, young men who are here, sorry to divert a bit. Young men who are here, you who is trusting God for a husband and a wife, there is nothing to be embarrassed about it. It's a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. But God is giving you an opportunity to deal with the animals first. Prepare yourself for that special thing before it comes. And I'm saying, as you pray, don't close all your eyes, young people. Pray with your eyes open like this. Father, I'm looking for a husband. Because the husband might pass when you're closing your eyes. Praise the Lord. If you're looking for a wife, make sure you pray on your eyes. You are looking. Because the Eve might come and pass when you are still closing your eyes. Praise the Lord. So the season in which you are is a season of preparation for what God wants to do in your life. It may look like things are not working. It may look like it's impossible. Just like I've asked you a question and you see, oh, this one cannot work. I'm a Benjamite. So I cannot qualify for this. But God is saying that you qualify. David was in the field looking after animals. 1 Samuel 16. He had no idea what God had in mind for him. But God had decided, I am going to appoint this man as a king. So Samuel comes in the home state and is looking for somebody to anoint. And the man is not there. Everybody looked deserving to be a king, but God had not laid their hands upon them. It is for you that God has preserved this moment, that God may lift you to a new level in your life. When David comes, you know what David had been doing? He had been battling with animals, sheep, goats. And God had seen in his heart, this is a man, if he's ready to protect animals from a lion, if he's ready to protect animals from a bear, how much more will he take care of my people? He is ready for the job, and so God goes for him. So because you have persevered in your prayer, because you have waited upon God in your prayer for that issue, God has judged you to be worthy of what you're longing for. It shall come to pass in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. See how God commissions those blessings to wait for you. Nothing is going to move that person God has prepared for you. Whether he's in Canada, he will find his way to this place. We have seen Sri Lanka prominently featuring in this church. Sri Lanka is very far. But people are walking all the way looking for people from Sri Lanka. Young men, don't go to Sri Lanka. Just praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. Wherever that beautiful lady is, wherever that handsome young man is, he will come for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That job, wherever it is, it will summon you to go there. Amen. The opportunity, the business opportunity that God has for you will look for you. Amen. Be watchful. Be sensitive to what God is doing around you. And you recognize God is telling you it is time. Praise the Lord. David comes, so Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one, anoint him." Somebody told me, I had a neighbor from India some time back, and he told me, when he was applying to, I think it's the Institute of Advanced Technology in India or what? Is it the most competitive? IIT. Yeah. He said he applied, and when he went, he found the applications were so many that he just pulled out himself and decided to go elsewhere because of the competition. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter the numbers. The blind man was there and the crowd was making a lot of noise. But his voice was distinct from all the other noises around. When he called upon Jesus, his voice was so distinct that Jesus said, "I must talk to this man. I must address the problem of this person." I'm telling you, don't worry about how many people have applied for that job. Don't worry about how many people are going for that position. When God says it is yours, it is yours. You may not be the best, but it is yours. Praise the Lord. Your qualifications may be inferior. Don't look at them. Just look at the job and what God has said. That is final. Praise the Lord. And it will come to pass. David comes. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil, and that oil will be upon you. He had brought and anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. From that day on, then Samuel returned to Ramah. Praise the Lord. It took a while for David to assume the position, but the anointing had taken place. Praise the Lord. The anointing had already taken place, so the job had been confirmed. Let not the devil lie to you. Whatever you are praying for, it may look like things are becoming even more difficult. But I want to assure you, church, that God has already guaranteed, and what God has okayed, it is okay for you also. Amen. What do we gather from here? David was about his business herding animals. The family and those around had no idea the plans God had for him. That could be happening. Having noticed a contrite spirit in this man, God was quietly navigating towards David's destiny. God had prepared the olive oil for David. Praise the Lord. So, in David's situation, God himself was taking charge and navigating things, bringing things into place. It took a while for him to receive the throne. But one thing I can tell you is God's purpose came to pass. It shall come to pass in your life. Amen. Quickly again, I want us to look at a story in the book of Luke about a paralytic gentleman. He had some friends, and these people in their life, they valued this friend. And so they decided our friend must also enjoy the same mobility we have. So they took him to Jesus. What was their aim? Restoration of his ability to walk. That was their purpose. That is what they were looking for. And they went in the presence of Jesus. If you read those verses, right from around 20 there, you will notice something very interesting. The Bible records several things were present in that place. One, the power of God was present. Two, the teachers of the law were present. Three, the religious leaders were present. Praise the Lord. And also there were multitudes there. Are you telling me all these people were physically okay? There were many who were ailing in their midst, but they were not able to tap onto that power. But this man came looking for healing, and his the kind of focus, the kind of determination he had, they lowered him down at the feet of Jesus Christ. The first thing that the Lord said, your sins have been forgiven. I said, the plans of God are much superior than our plans. This man wanted to walk, but he wanted to walk with his sins. Jesus said, this is not going to be right. I will only have given him access to many opportunities to commit crime and sin. I must cleanse his soul. I must give him the best gift that he needs first. And he said, your sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. So that when he comes to the second round of blessing, the man will fully enjoy and embrace the blessing that God has given to him. And I want to speak to you today. The thing that you are yearning for God to do, he is able, well able to do. But he wants to deal with some things in your life first. And once he has settled those things in your life, you will see those things fall in place. Praise the Lord. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to them, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law, the religious law, said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? Verse 24, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Praise the Lord. The fact that many people have got the same problem that you are going through or have got the same need is not a reason for you to sit back. You relate to God as an individual. Go with your problem and raise it before the throne of grace. And let God intervene in your life as an individual. Praise the Lord. This man was not discouraged by the fact that there were other people there. He looked for an opportunity to reach the feet of Jesus. And once he reached there, the Lord ministered to him. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4. The Samaritan woman. A woman who was kind of disliked in the society because of the kind of life she was living. And so this woman, in my own view, she always chose the times to go to fetch water. She did not want to interact with so many people because even the children would call her names. The other women would run away from her. They were sensitive because they knew the kind of woman she was and the kind of life she led. But I want to thank God on this day as she came to look for water to drink at a very odd hour. I know women usually go for water very early in the morning and very late in the evening. in most cases. But this woman was coming at noon time in Muscat. You go to a well at midday. You are punishing yourself. And that was not far from Muscat. It was in this area, in this region. Praise the Lord. So there must be something that was so pressing this woman to go at such a time. She did not want to involve herself with people. But thank God, God had a special plan for her on that day. Praise the Lord. Was looking for water, the normal water, but God had special water for her. The water that will wash away all her sins. The water that will purify her in the eyes of the society. The water that will make her acceptable in the society. The water that will give her respect before people. Praise the Lord. We know the story. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water again." Let this be your cry in your heart. God, give me this blessing you promised to me, because then I will not thirst again after it. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us this woman became the first evangelist of that season. Praise the Lord. She went back home. The people she was running away from, she was now speaking to them about the good news. Hallelujah. She forgot even her container. She had come for water, but she left the container there and ran back to the village and said, "Do you know what? I have found peace in my heart. I have found acceptance in my heart. I know my life was not right, but I'm not no longer ashamed. He has taken my shame away. He has given me joy in my heart." Praise the Lord. So the reproach that was upon my life has been taken away. I want to tell you, brethren, that which troubles your heart, God wants to roll it away, that you may have peace in your heart, that you may have joy to its fullness, and may testify of his goodness. Praise the Lord. Our God is faithful and is good. I want us to move Acts chapter 3. There is a cripple who has specialized to sit at the beautiful gates. He was a very informed person. He knew, if I want something, I can't go to the sheep gate. You know there was a sheep gate? Do you know that? There was another gate, sheep gate. But there was the beautiful gate also. The man always chose to be at the beautiful gate. Because he knew one thing. You can't pass through the beautiful gate and say you don't have something in your pocket. So obviously you are going to give him something, isn't it? So she was there. Her expectations were limited to money. Sorry, his expectations was limited to money. But was it money that he really needed? He needed to regain his full ability to walk. That's what he needed. But the enemy had restricted his vision to money. Our vision may be restricted to things that are not really valuable. We may be searching for things that we don't really need in our life. But God wants to give us something special, something that will last in our lives. And on this day, this man was there at that gate, and he was looking at Peter and John. And they were looking like they are very responsible people. He looked at their faces. The countenance on their faces spoke of people who are free, joyful. And the Bible says he intently looked at them with expectation. "I know you are expecting something from God. I have been in that trouble. Sometimes expecting God must work in this pattern. I've been praying for a given issue in my life, and I believe God must talk to so and so because he's in a position to help me, and so he will help me. And so I intently look at this person. But God is saying, that is not what I need to do. He has got something special. John, Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have. What you expect from us, we don't have. But we have got something special to give to you. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The Bible records this man for a while remained down there. Because this is not the money that he was looking for. And it took Peter to hold his hand and raise him up. There are people in the body of Christ who are going to stand with you and see that you are on your feet. Until God's purpose is accomplished in your life, God's promise concerning your life will be fulfilled. That is why those numbers are always displayed there. They say, if you have a prayer item, call this number and people will stand with you. I want to assure you, I am a testimony. I am a beneficiary of those numbers. Praise the Lord. I never fail. Whenever I am faced with something, I call and I know my prayers have always been answered. Praise the Lord. You need to understand one thing. In this church here, there are people that God has given his special anointing for certain things. They may not be standing on the pulpit here. They may not be ministering to us. But the moment that assignment is laid at their feet, it will be accomplished to the perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. I have told you, there's a brother of mine here I love so much. Whenever I used to see him do like this, he's in the technical team. I used to look and say, this is a very cool job. And things are working. I was tempted to say, I want to join the technical team. I'll be doing like this. But I realized maybe I'll be doing like this when I'm supposed to be doing like this. Praise the Lord. When you see them here, you can just see them doing like this and things are perfect. Try doing it. Things will not work. So we give them honor for what they do. Praise the Lord. And if somebody has been given the gift to pray, give them honor. Give them the opportunity. Because God wants to use them to minister to your life. Praise the Lord. My caution to the prayer warriors, your mouth must be shut. Don't be a BBC. Don't be a CNN. Somebody has told you, join me in this prayer. And before he leaves his house, he hears somebody calling him, I had this problem with you. Learn to shut your mouth. Stand in the presence of God. And mention those names to God the Father. Let us see our brethren rising and walking and leaping and running. Praise the Lord. The lame man looked at them eagerly expecting money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet, ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk, then walking, leaping, and praising God. We want to see that celebration in our church. Praise the Lord. We want to see that celebration in our church. Acts 10:1. The man was searching for healing. Money. He got his perfect healing. Cornelius. There are many Cornelius in the church here now. People who do a lot of service for God. They give. They do a lot. And God is pleased with your work. He wants to honor your work. Praise the Lord. God wants to honor your work. It's a small thing. A small discussion you need to have with God. A very small discussion you need to have with God that will trigger something in your life. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, remember, the Bible is saying, he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. That you do, my brethren, that God has honored in your life. One afternoon after 12 o'clock in Muscat, you don't get that. Praise the Lord. One afternoon after 1 o'clock in Muscat, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." All that you have been doing in the presence of God has been honored. God loves your coming to the service. God loves the way you fear him. Like David, there are hearts of people here who love God so sincerely, and they are committed to God. And God is saying, all that, my son, my daughter, I recognize, I honor it, but I want to do something in your life. And so we see something happen in the life of Cornelius. When God decided to move into the life of Cornelius and used Peter, when Peter came to share in the house of Cornelius, the Bible says, suddenly, even as Peter was, that's verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. Oh, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and it triggered a multiple things in that family. The doors were unlocked. That which was locked in their lives was released in their lives. Praise the Lord. I pray that the Almighty God will trigger something in your life and will begin to realize that God loves you so much. Praise the Lord. I want us to finish at this point. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the plan of God for your life, that you may receive the gift of God, eternal life. Acts 2:28, upon repentance, we may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'll leave you to look at John 14:13 and 1 John 5:14-15. As the pastor comes to close this service, I'm sure he will give you an opportunity. Those of us who feel our lives must change, we must give a commitment to God. There's an opportunity for us to come and say, "Yes, Lord, I have not lived right in your presence, and I need you to be my personal savior." A personal relationship with God that is real, that's what God pursues in your life. And that will begin to unlock many things in your life. May God bless you so much.
Church, the question has been asked, what exactly are you looking for? And you have been assured that you should not worry. God is looking after you. Maybe you are focusing on the left. God has a better gift for you at the right. All you just have to do is that you have to seek him. You seek him first, and all other things shall be added unto it. But one thing you should know, you have to seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." and listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 30, verse 21. When you seek God, Isaiah said, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ear will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Brethren, what are you looking for? Don't worry yourself. God is ready to surprise you. Let us be on our feet. I want you to pray and tell God, Lord, guide me to focus where you want me to focus. Direct me to the direction you want me to go. Guide me and lead me. Continue to talk to God. Maybe you have been praying amiss. Ask God right now, Lord, speak to me. Give me my prayer point. Give me the right thing to talk about in your presence. Guide me and lead me and direct me, Lord. Talk to God. What are you looking for? God is ready to surprise you. God is ready to show you the direction to follow. He has done it in the life of David, Cornelius, Samaritan woman. He's ready to do it in your life. Pray for your family. Pray for those that are saved and those that are not saved, that God should reveal himself to them. I want you to pray this time also for Gideon. Gideon's mission. They are everywhere, as brother said, worldwide. Pray for those people in that mission field, that God will continue to show them more of where to focus on. That God will continue to show them the direction to follow. Pray for the church of God here, that Lord, the year is going to an end. All our programs, all our activities, take over. Take glory. Let your name be glorified. And peradventure, those prayer points you wrote at the beginning of this year that are yet to be answered. This is the time. Talk to God that, God, show me how to pray. Show me which direction to face. Reveal yourself to me. Let all my prayers that have been brought to you be answered. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bring your prayer to the close. Appreciate God that, Lord, as I've spoken, as I've prayed to you, that you have answered me, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon. We bless your name for the message that we have heard. Thank you, Lord, because we have realized that we have to seek you first, and all other things shall be added unto it for us. Father, we give you all glory and adoration for your words that we have received this afternoon. Father, let this word continue to be firmly established in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Exactly where you want us to focus on, where you want us to look at, Father, show us the direction to follow in the mighty name of Jesus. And everything you have for us, all those good things that you have promised to do in our life, as you have promised to restore everything in our life this year, Father, we pray, Almighty God, before the end of this year, Father, restore all that concerns us in good faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Once again, we pray for Gideon's mission. Father, you have chosen those people. Continue to protect them in the mission field in the mighty name of Jesus. And pray for your son that you have used for us today. More anointing in Jesus' name. More blessing to him in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to hear, we want to receive more from him. Father, bless him richly in your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless sister, bless the children, and bless the work of his hand in the mighty name of Jesus. And for each and every one of that have listened to him also, Father, bless the work of our hands in the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. As we depart here, let your presence go ahead of us in Jesus' name. And when we meet here within in the week for our weekly program, Father, we pray that your presence shall be felt in our midst in Jesus' name, and your name shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. When we meet next week, it shall be testimony in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week ahead.